Welcome to day 122 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We continue looking at the sixth commandment. Yesterday we looked at the duties required in the sixth commandment, and today we'll begin looking at the sins prohibited by the sixth commandment, and we'll take some time and stop and look at a few of these in more detail than we have other items in other commandments that we've looked at. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 69, says, or asks, what is forbidden in the sixth commandment? And answers, the sixth commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly, or whatsoever tends to take away the life of ourself or our neighbor unjustly. A little expanded reading there. And the verses there are Acts 16:28 and Genesis 9:6. We'll go ahead and look at the Westminster Larger Catechism and we'll catch those verses. Question 136 of the Larger Catechism, what are the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment? Answer, the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are all taking away the life of ourselves or of others, except in case of public justice, lawful war, or necessary defense. Now we're going to take some time and look at those three exceptions, or at least the Westminster Assembly says those are legitimate exceptions to the command, thou shalt not kill. But to continue the answer, sins forbidden in the sixth commandment include the neglecting or withdrawing the lawful and necessary means of preservation of life, sinful anger, hatred, envy, desire of revenge, all excessive passions, distracting cares, immoderate use of meditations, provoking oppression, quarrel, striking, wounding, whatsoever else tends to the destruction of the life of any. Look at the verse. Sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are all to the life of ourselves. Suicide. This here in Acts 16:28 is when the Philippian jailer, there was an earthquake, all the cell doors were open, Paul and the others were basically permitted to walk away, but they didn't. The guard didn't know that, and when he figured that everybody had escaped, he began attempting to commit suicide, which indicates that being a jailer in Philippi was not a very fun job if after an earthquake all the doors are opened and you're going to be held responsible, and the punishment to you as a jailer when the earthquake opens all the doors is worse than suicide. But anyway, Paul cries with a loud voice and says, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And I don't think one would argue that if they hadn't been there, then Paul would have said, go ahead, do yourself in. I think that we discern that killing yourself is a sin forbidden in the sixth commandment. This is important in our day, because for some reason suicide is a leading cause of death worldwide, the third leading cause of death among young people, and also among other groups of people. For example, it's often or occasionally or more often than we would like something resorted to by women who commit abortion. There is a rumor that young people who commit suicide, who are also experimenting with homosexuality, commit suicide because their experimentation with homosexuality is met with public stigma or disapproval, which is not really true. There isn't that much of a stigma. And anyway, that the research into that subject is a little bit more complex than the rumors that we have. Here's some links to this issue of suicide. As I said, it's a leading cause of death in America and worldwide. Men or boys commit suicide four times more often than women. Those are there's lots of interesting social factors behind this rather significant problem. And the Shorter Catechism correctly notes that the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are whatever tends thereunto, whatever tends to take away the life of ourselves or our neighbor. And so we need to look at those tendencies. We need to look at the things that tend to take away the life of others, including, for example, abortion, which is not just the taking of life, but also that which tends to cause someone to take their own life. Other practices which tend to cause suicide are something we should, as Christians, be concerned about. The next sin forbidden in the sixth commandment is taking away the life of others. And this is obvious. That's the whole point of the command. Genesis 9:6 is cited. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. The importance of that verse we're going to see right now, because the next three items on the list are three exceptions to the command, thou shalt not kill. The Westminster Larger Catechism says it's a sin to take away the life of ourselves or of others, except in case of public justice, lawful war, and necessary defense. Public justice, that means capital punishment. One of the verses often cited for capital punishment is Genesis 9:6. It's important to look at that verse in context. When Noah gets off the ark, one of the first things he does is build an altar, and he starts doing burnt offerings, shedding the blood of animals and sacrificing them to God. God also says not to eat blood. And then God says in verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Now, one of the verses here in the Larger Catechism that says that capital punishment or public justice is an exception to the commandment, thou shalt not kill, one of the verses is from Numbers 35. There's verses 31 and 33 cited in the Catechism. Verse 31 says, moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. Verse 33 says, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed, or atonement cannot be made for the land of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. So Numbers 35 explains why God told Noah what he did in Genesis 9:6, that whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Because, as I said, when Noah got off the ark, he built an altar to begin doing sacrifices, burnt offerings. In the Old Covenant, atonement could be made for most sins by the shedding of the blood of certain animals and their offering to God. But there were some sins that were so heinous that animal sacrifices was not enough to do what Numbers 35 says needed to be done, and that's to cleanse the land or make atonement to cleanse the land of the blood of the innocent blood that's shed in the land. So blood had to be shed. In the case of smaller sins, it's the blood of animals, but in the case of really heinous sins, it's the blood of the person who commits the sin. And that includes things like adultery and blasphemy and murder. Now, here's the question. Given the Shorter Catechism says, and correctly so, that things which tend to the unjust taking of life, we have to ask, not only is capital punishment an unjust taking of life, but does it have tendencies that cause the commission of the sins of the sixth commandment? Key in an analysis here, I believe, it's not stated in the catechism, and I'm arguing that the catechism is wrong here at this point. If you look at Deuteronomy 21, it says that when there is an unsolved homicide, that is to say, when a murder has been committed, but the murderer cannot or has not been identified, we have the body, the victim, but we don't know who committed the crime, so we don't know whose blood to shed, then the city council, the elders, shall take a heifer, slit its throat, the blood shed by the heifer will cleanse the land of the blood that is shed therein, just like Numbers 35:33 requires. Now, most Christians, with exceptions of just a very narrow, razor-sharp, extreme fringe of some Christians who actually believe that Deuteronomy 21 still needs to be literally observed in our day, and that the city council needs to take a heifer, slit its throat, shed its blood, and that will cleanse the land of the shedding of innocent blood. Most everyone else, all Christians, virtually all Christians, believe that Deuteronomy 21 cannot be legitimately fulfilled if you take it literally. The reason why the city council is not required in our day to shed the blood of a heifer in the case of an unsolved homicide is because only the blood of Jesus has any power to cleanse anything. The shedding of animal blood is no longer appropriate. John the Baptist said of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." No animal blood can take away sin. Now the question is, given the fact, the almost universal agreement that Deuteronomy 21 requiring the shedding of the blood in the case of an unsolved homicide is not to be literally observed, but rather that the city council should require the city to collectively put their faith and trust in the blood of Christ to cleanse the land in the case of an unsolved homicide. If it's true we don't shed the blood of a heifer, why is it that if we find the murderer, his blood now must be shed? I hope you see the argument there, that the blood of a heifer doesn't need to be shed to cleanse the land, neither does the blood of the murderer himself, if he is found and convicted, need to be shed to cleanse the land. The only blood that can make atonement is the blood of Christ. Now that word in Numbers 35:33, the land cannot be cleansed, that verse, that word means atonement. If you look at that word, where it appears in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, you'll see that it's almost in every case translated atonement. And that's what it means. It means that the blood that's shed, when the land is polluted by innocent blood, the land can, atonement can be made for the land. That is, the land can be cleansed of that pollution of innocent blood by the shedding of the blood of the one who killed the one who shed the innocent blood. So it doesn't seem to me that this verse proves that capital punishment is an exception to the rule, thou shalt not kill a human being. It was at one time when God ordered that blood be shed to atone, to cleanse the land. Then at that point it was appropriate to shed the blood of animals or to shed the blood of the perpetrator of certain heinous crimes like murder. But God doesn't require the shedding of the blood of heifer in a case of an unsolved homicide, nor does God require the shedding of the blood of man in the case the homicide is solved. That pretty much covers our time allotted here on the first day, or on day 122, our first look at the sins prohibited. Tomorrow, we'll probably spend our time looking at war. We might get into necessary defense or self-defense, but the key here is, do these exceptions that the Westminster Confession and Catechism, rather, identify, are these biblical exceptions to the law, thou shalt not kill? We'll look at lawful war tomorrow on day 123.